Have you ever prayed and wondered, what is God saying? You ever prayed and heard absolutely nothing? Feel nothing? Well, there's a time when God actually can be silent when we pray. Now, this week, I want to just encourage you, brothers and sisters, that there's a way to interpret God's silence, and you will be deeply inspired and moved to continue to pray. It's not time to give up on prayer. It's actually time to keep on praying as you understand how to interpret God's silence in prayer. God bless you as you listen. So this week, we're going to talk about, if you open up your Bibles to John chapter 11. If you have a Bible, if you don't have a Bible, we do have some in that little case over there. We have some on there. I know a lot of y'all got them on your phones. John chapter 11, we're gonna open up and we're going to read a very familiar story, but we're going to talk about when God is silent. Sometimes, y'all know it's the truth, you pray and it's like, man, God, are you going to say anything? What is God saying? I prayed and prayed and prayed, but what is God saying? Amen. So John chapter 11, we're just going to read the first 7 verses. It says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and Martha, her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode or stayed 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea. Now I think it's a very crucial point here that we point out the fact that it said that Jesus felt how about the sisters of Lazarus? How did he feel about them? He loved them. Yet Jesus heard, word was brought, prayer was made, it got to him, he heard it, yet what did he do? He didn't move. He didn't do anything. So now I want you to imagine that loved one in your life that is sick. Or that situation in your life that's sick. Or that circumstance in your life that's making you sick. And you send word to God. You pray. And nothing. Nothing. This is what Mary and Martha had to deal with. Now I can imagine that there were other family members. There were other friends that came and visited Lazarus, how you doing, man? Is he? And Mary and Martha probably like, no, just stay away from him. We got to protect him. Leave him alone. We done prayed. Now we're going to wait. But I think you should think about now, Jesus was known for he healed right now. Jesus was known for as you have spoken, so shall it be. Jesus was known for coming. I will come heal him now. Jesus was known for that. And here you have Mary and Martha. Mary didn't anointed his feet, and she didn't repented and wept at his feet and just loved him and served him and ministered to him. And now she's saying, and now I have a need. And it's 2 days and he's not here. He hasn't got here yet. The Lord was silent. I want you to think about this. In your prayer life, you prayed. God didn't move. No movement. How do we interpret silence? That's what we're going to do today. We're going to interpret the silence. And I think what you're going to be encouraged by is, how do we interpret this silence? And then once we get a good interpretation of it, how do we respond to that? So we're going to say, okay, am I looking at silence the wrong way? Because if you anything like me, silence is like, it's them sins from last year. He ain't talking to me no more. I'm cut off. Or maybe I didn't get up early enough and pray. Maybe I didn't say the right thing. I knew I should have prayed yesterday. So you start going through your mind, what could be the reason that God is silent? That's what we're going to deal with today. But as we deal with it, I want us to first look at, okay, would we be the first people to go through dead silence? Let's look at one very profound example, Job. Job loses all his children, all his crops, all his cattle, and then lost his health. He's laid up on the bed, can't even move, got boils all over his body. And who ends up coming around? Two people who want to just sit there and tell him how wrong he is. We're going to help you discover this sin in your life, man. That's what we need to do, because you got some repenting you need to do. They interpreted silence. They interpreted God is not moving. They interpreted that to mean that you wrong somewhere. But Job said, man, if I got sin, I don't know where it's at. And all of y'all talking like fools right now. I don't know. Job laid up in dead silence. No word from God. We could go to another man named Simeon. That's in Luke chapter 2. It says he was one of the high priests, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And some of you guys might know this, some of you might not. But it had been a period that, you know, and I know the arguments are out there, but commonly the church believes that there was a period between the Old and the New Testament of 400 years of dead silence from God. So this was not just one person. This was a whole nation that not one prophet, not one priest, not one sign, not one word from heaven, complete silence for 400 years. God says nothing. No, we wouldn't be the first ones. And I mean, think about it now. A lot of different situations got solved. A lot of things got healed. A lot of things got dealt with through the prophets and through the priests and through those signs and wonders, the things that God was doing. I mean, they, just like us today, they had issues with divorce. They had issues with disabilities and sickness. They had people losing their homes. It was corrupt government. They needed somebody to come. They needed a word from heaven. They needed a prophet to come and come speak, call fire down on this government. But God says absolutely nothing. And the people suffered. Then how about David? This is a good one. Psalm 13. This is one of my favorite ones. This is the spirit. The Bible says the spirit of Christ is what was speaking through David. Okay, so when the Bible says that it behooved Christ to become like his brethren, so that he could be a faithful high priest and to be one that could help us in time of trouble, read these psalms from this brother right here. He says, how long, Lord? How long will you forget me? David, the king anointed, says, I feel forgotten. He says, forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my own soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? How long are you going to let them get away? says, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes. I can't see. Lest I sleep the sleep of death. This thing was getting out of hand. Whatever he was going through, he was like, this is so much on me right now. This is so much. I feel like I'm finna just die. Psalm 35 is another one. You want to turn that? Psalm 35, verse. It's a real short one, just one verse. He says, in verse 17, he says, Lord, how long will you look on? In other words, he said, how long will you just watch? What are you doing up there? Remember one of the Psalms, he said, Lord, will you take your hand out of your pockets? Like you just sitting up there. What are you doing? But I want you to notice what's going on between David and God. A conversation. David didn't say, I'm going to the Philistines. David didn't say, I'm turning to Islam. Because that's the thing today. I'm going to become a Buddhist. I'm going to carve me out an idol. David kept the conversation going. As mad as he was, as lonely as he felt, as forgotten as he felt, whatever it was, he says, but I have trusted in thy mercy, O Lord. But David dealt with silence. David dealt with silence. So, and I mean, I think it would be good to point out the greatest, I think, of all, Jesus Christ comes. Now, you and I could probably say, you know what? I could probably just about justify God being silent to me, especially the way I cussed that lady out yesterday. And I cheated on my taxes. I only cheated 50%. You and I probably could justify the lust in our heart being the reason that God is silent. We could justify spending money the wrong way. We could justify by the things we did last year. We could justify God being silent to us a lot of ways. But Jesus would have no justification to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you silent? I mean, I got baptized. I came out of the water. A dove descended down from heaven and a voice spoke like thunder and said, this is my beloved son whom I am well pleased in. Oh, that was so good to hear an answer from heaven. And there were other times, God, I heard you, but God, I have ran my race. I finished my course. I'm here on the cross and I'm looking up to you now and I need an answer. And you go on silent. I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know if silence is coming your way. I don't know if you in silence right now, or I don't know if silence is behind you and you saying, yeah, I had to make it through that myself, Brother Aaron. But at some point or another, every single one of us deals with God's silence. Whether you in it, whether you headed to it, or whether it's behind you. Silence is a part of a relationship with God. Silence is a part of a relationship with people, right? I got a couple of people in here that gave me a silent treatment. If you've been married more than 5 years, you know what the silent treatment is. So how do we interpret the silence? How do we interpret it? I want you to look at silence today from God. And this might seem a little abstract, but I promise you, if you look at silence this way, it'll do you a lot more good than damage. Number one, look at silence as a healthy distraction. Because think about it, if God was just ignoring everything in your life and really wasn't trying to take you to the next level, if God wasn't trying to draw you nearer, if God wasn't trying to manifest greater glories in your life, if God wasn't trying to push you to excel and push you to grow in your knowledge of him and your wisdom and push you to just drill down on your faith in him, you probably wouldn't be saying, God, where you at? But sometimes that silence is just the distraction we need to say, Lord, where are, wait, Lord, where you at? Hold up. I can't move on like this. I need to hear your voice. And you know what it does? It distracts us from the things that distract us from him. That's what it can be. It can be that thing that make you turn off the TV. It can make you put the video game down. It can make you stop playing Ruzzle. Right? It can pull you off Facebook. It can be that distraction where you say, wait a minute, I gotta stop and see where my Lord is, because he's done too much for me and I'm not getting ready to keep living my life like this. Now listen, while silence is a healthy distraction for us to draw near to God, the enemy uses that distraction to try to pull you away from God. And that's what he will do. He'll say, oh God, he going through silence, he going through that. It's time for him to grow and he don't know. She is being drawn closer to God and she don't even realize it. She don't know what this is. So guess what I'm going to do? Hey, I bought a cookie. You can have it, but I need you to come out in the woods with me. I'm your friend. Don't worry. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm going to kill you. So look at it as a healthy distraction. God is distracting me with silence. God is getting my attention through his silence. God is making me look up to him through his silence. And remember, the enemy would be like, look, you can get an answer today. Just burn your three candles. Set up this little altar on your table. And the spirit gonna manifest right then, just like that. Don't fall for it. The unhealthy distraction in silence. Let the healthy distraction of silence be, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. Number two, it builds resilience. Silence will build you up, man. It will build you up for something better. It will make you stronger. It will make you more patient. Because you know how you can be waiting on God, and you get angry, don't you? How many of y'all been angry waiting on God? Me, my hand is way up in the air, and I would raise both my feet if I wouldn't fall on my face. You're waiting on God, but you know what? When you learn to just wait and you say, you know what? I'm not going to fall for these unhealthy distractions. I'm going to wait. God does something in you, because the Bible says that tribulation, what tribulation? The tribulation of silence. We ain't even got to talk about, the tribulation could be my angry sister or my cousin or my boss that's mean, or they promoted him and I should have got the promotion. That could be the tribulation, but it's in that tribulation that we're praying, and then God is being silent, and now we got this whole other trial that's going on called silence. Well, the Bible says, what about tribulation? Tribulation worked what? Patience. And patience. Experience. What do you experience? Hang on through the silence, brother. You don't want to give up. You will experience God show up in a way that's so powerful. And the next time you come around, you say, I've been here before. It's still not comfortable, still not fun, but I've been through this before. We lose a lot of Christians in silence. It builds resilience. Number three, it will enhance your discernment. I'm going to show you how this works. You're going through this silent thing. You want to hear from God. You want an answer. You want direction. You want whatever it is you want. You want comfort. You want peace. And then you mess around and take things into your own hands. And you live to regret it. You will learn to discern. And you go back to God. You say, oh God, I went down the wrong road. I should have waited on you. I'm so sorry. And the next time you go through that silence, you'll be like, okay, I got to be a little more careful down this street here. Because the last time I turned my head, I got blindsided. Don't want that. It will teach you those voices that speak in the silence. Mm-mm, nope, that's not the Lord. That's not the answer. I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. Nope. Forget that. I'm just going to wait on the Lord. Because they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And number four, it will alter your disposition about obedience. Why? When you see the reward of letting God's silence be a healthy distraction, allowing God to build up your patience, learning to discern, you will say, you know what? It's better to obey than to sacrifice. It's better to just obey. I've been down this road. I'm just going to obey. I don't see where this obedience is even going, but I have obeyed enough to know that it's worth obeying. It will change your mind about obedience. Some people struggle with obeying God. You know why? Because God has been silent to you before. You didn't get the answer fast enough. You didn't get the comfort fast enough. You didn't get the direction fast enough. You took things into your own hands and you end up hurt. Silence can change your disposition about obedience. You'll say, you know what? I don't care. God don't have to talk to me again. I'll wait till I get to heaven if that's the case. I'll give you personal testimony. I don't even want to tell y'all the time, but I'm going to tell y'all this. It seemed like forever. And it was more than a month. It was months, okay? And I can tell you the time, but I'm just... And God wasn't saying nothing. Man, I go to church, sing songs. People be crying and waving their hands. And I'll just be like. Open up my Bible. And brother is sharing with me. God, man, God just opened that word up to me today. And I'll be like. I ain't getting nothing out of it. Nothing. I just read it. People be going out doing things. Man, I went out. I prayed this morning. Man, God, just filled my heart up. Like I prayed and that was the dullest hour of my life. And that went on for a long time. So this was my prayer life. This was in church. This was in study. This was no matter what I was doing. I just felt numb. God was silent. And I'm going to tell you, I remember somebody came up to me and say, Aaron, why are you so angry? And I'm like, I know she didn't just walk up and try to call me out on, how you know I'm mad? You know, how you going to just say I'm angry? What did I do? I'm just walking. And so I was thinking, I better listen. And so I checked. I was very angry. I was so mad. I'm so mad. I was so mad. Now, cussing wasn't coming out of my mouth, but it was coming out of my soul. I was cussing my soul. And so that went on a little bit longer. And then after a while of resolving to just obey God. And I'm telling you, it wasn't like through this period of time that I was struggling with all these different sins and stuff. And God was just trying to get me to repent. It wasn't none of that. I was doing it right, the best I could. And after a while, check this out. In a moment, I had a flash. I don't remember whether it was a dream or what it was. But in a moment, it was like I was in a wilderness, in a jungle. And I saw this person who I perceived to be like the Lord. And he just looked at me. And I could see where he was going. And what I perceived in that little thing right there was, if you just keep going the right way, ain't no need. I don't need to just keep talking to you and talking to you. Learn to live with some silence. That was the first time I really got this. That was a long time ago. Like, if God is not talking, that don't mean you're doing something wrong. It don't mean that you got some repenting to do. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It might just mean you just are maturing in a way that you haven't matured before. And it's time to get off the milk and the candy and the cookies and the here you go. To keep you going, to just walk. Be a man, be a woman, be mature, be an adult. And I had to swallow that. And I had to resolve that whether God is talking or not, I need to keep on this line. So what do you do while God is silent? Because that's the next thing, right? And I mean, we kind of hear it, right? But I'm gonna tell you some things you can do. If you feel like right now, man, I'm waiting on God I'm waiting. I don't hear. I don't see. It's not clear. Ask him some good questions. Ask him, you know, Lord, do I have distractions in my life that shouldn't be there? Am I not allowing you to be my refuge and my strength? Am I not running to you? Is my disposition about obedience, is it where you want it to be? Do you feel like I'm resilient enough? Are there areas in my life that I'm folding under pressure and you want me to learn how to stand? Are there? Lord, am I discerning things? Do I have people in my circle that shouldn't be? Am I in conversations that I shouldn't be in? Am I saying things about myself? Am I believing things about myself that I shouldn't be believing? Am I going? Do I walk with the disposition that you are with me? Am I walking in the confidence that you really are taking me somewhere? You really with me? You really are working in the background, whether I feel like it or not? Am I walking with the confidence that you are my heavenly Father and you are a good Father? You're going to take care of me. You're going to provide for me no matter what I don't hear, don't see, no matter what I don't feel, no matter whether I feel like I'm going the right way or not, that I know you're not going to let me fall. Do I have that disposition? Search your heart, number two. Search your heart and be real with God. As you ask these questions, open yourself up. Do you have the confidence? See, some of us have the confidence when we pray, just like Mary and Martha. They had the confidence. Go get the Lord. Some of us are just like that. We know exactly who to ask. But do you have the confidence that he's coming? Search your heart. Number three. When God is quiet, don't search for noise. If he's quiet, let him be quiet. Don't start digging around. The Bible calls that itching ears. That's how these people get trapped. They look at, they're trying to find somebody. Are you a prophet? Because I need to hear something. You know, the devil will be like, oh, I got a prophet for you. Come here, son. I see the anointing on you. And then they start prophesying over you. See, you get desperate. You get so desperate to hear that you'll listen to anything. You better watch that. Number four. Be ready for the abstract. Job's long period of silence. So what does God come and do? He doesn't come and say, Job, man, I know you've been going through a lot, son. Let me address your wounds. Let me help you up here, brother. He came, he says, where were you? Where were you when I created the earth? How abstract is that? Like, I'm laid up here. I've lost everything and you asking me questions. How? I mean, it's like, It's like we're trying to ask God about this cake, and we like, Lord, can you just get in the ballpark? Talk about flour or sugar or butter or something. Talk about the pan. Talk about toppings, icing. I mean, I'm talking about cake, and you're talking about palm trees. That abstract, you got to be ready for that. Because you know what? Sometimes we could be saying, you know what? This relationship is so messed up. Then you go to church and God be talking about time management. This don't have nothing to do with my marriage, Lord. I came to church hoping you was going to speak directly to my marriage. Like time management could have no bearing on your marriage. See, we need to learn to listen. Be ready for the abstract. If you want to hear from God, get ready to hear something that could be totally strange. Not unscriptural, but strange. Not insignificant, but totally outside the box of what you're going through. It can seem totally disconnected, but a lot of times it is totally connected. And then remember, this is the last thing that you got to do if you're going through times of silence. Remember. Remember what David said in Psalm 77? This is one of my favorite psalms of when you're going through stuff. He said, I cried unto God with my heart, my voice, even unto God with my voice. I gave ear and gave ear. He gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. You've been there before. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. So he's saying complaining didn't do no good. I mean, you can sit around with your buddies and just talk about how bad everything. He said, I did that. I just felt overwhelmed by it. He said, I've considered. He said, I remember God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. He said, you holdeth my eyes waking. I can't get no sleep at night. I'm so troubled, I can't speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance the song in the night. I commune with my own heart and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? This is what David said. Is that true? See, David was going through the silent thing. Wait, God, where are you at? Has God gotten so mad that he ain't going to talk to me? And then he said, this is my infirmity. This is what my problem is I'm sitting up here thinking that God ain't listening to me, that God is not engaged in my life, that God is not even paying attention to me. He said, this is my promise. But he says, verse 10, he says, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. When you're going through times of silence, man, look back over your life. Sometimes it just look a little closer at your life. Where you sleep last night? Well, I slept with my cousin. Did you sleep in a bed? Or I slept on the couch. Was it raining on you? Was it heated? Did you eat? Do you have water? Do you have health? Remember, God is taking care of you. You know, sometimes we can look at the circumstance in our life and, you know, yeah, everything is cookie cutter in America. They made everything, you know, the mom, the dad, the dog, the cat, the boy, the girl, the white picket fence, the garage, the van and the boat and all of that stuff. And that's perfect to America. But that might not be perfect for God for you. God might want to let you go, get sold by your brothers, go into slavery, sit there, get abandoned by all your road dogs, and then bring you out of prison and make you the governor. As I close, that is the deal. That's the way the story finishes. The story finishes with Mary and Martha, they waiting on Jesus, 2 days of silence, we don't hear anything. And what they were hoping for was healing. And Jesus said, I was going to do better than that. I didn't want to just come and heal. I wanted to come show you some power. So yeah, I let Lazarus die. So I can come and show you, you don't have to worry about sickness or death or graves or destruction or your enemies or anything. And sometimes your waiting leaves you in places just like it left Israel. 400 years, dead silence. But then the Savior came. Said, I'm getting ready to show up and show out. Ask yourself, is what you want, is what you're waiting for, is that God's best? Maybe God is saying, you know what, you're shooting for healing, but I want to show you resurrection power. Maybe you're saying, you know what, I just need a few more dollars on my check, and God's saying, I want to show you a multi-million dollar business. Maybe you're saying, you know what, I just want a friend, and God is saying, I want to encircle you with all kind of friends. You know, I remember when we were going through the whole thing with racial reconciliation, and God kind of whispered this in my heart, and he said, you know, why are they saying all we want is justice? That ain't all I want to give them. Why are you stopping at justice? See, so while you waiting, maybe God is saying, you know what, I want to elevate your expectations. I want to elevate you to something greater. I want to elevate you to something mightier. But before you get to that thing, we need to build some resilience in you. We need to change your disposition about obedience. We need to teach you how to discern. Amen. Because where I'm taking you, it's going to be enemies there. It's going to be people that try to tell you things and distract you and throw you off. And you're going to need to know what my voice is. Compared to the enemy. You're going to need to be patient, because sometimes it's going to be real hard and you might want to get mad and kick something. So if we take this and say, you know what? Man, maybe God is silent and I'm dealing with this silence because I'm shooting for the sun and he's saying, I want you to go for the stars. So let's not underestimate what God is doing in our lives if he's silent. Let's not underestimate, because remember, David never said, God, you ain't there. He just said, will you do something? He never said, God, you're not going to come. He just said, when? He knew God was coming. He knew God was going to do something. It was just a matter of time. We need to understand that we have a good, good Father. He not holding out on you and going to let you die in misery. God wants you to be just like Job. He came, he restored him, and look, Job didn't get his kids back. They died. Job's cattle died. Job's crops died. But Job ended up with God making it right for him. So I don't even want you to think, well, I just need God to salvage this. Maybe God got something better, because it said Job's daughters were the finest women in the world. The Lord said, I'm with you, even unto the end of the world. We need to believe that with all our hearts and know that if God is silent to you right now, do not make the mistake of misinterpreting that to mean that he's not there, that he's not listening, he's not going to do nothing. He is, because he's faithful, that promise. Amen. Well, that's just a message that makes you think, am I misinterpreting? Have I allowed someone else to interpret God's silence? Have I let the naysayers get into my mind and my heart? Well, that could be detrimental to your faith, brothers and sisters. If God appears to be silent, look around. Look in your life. Sometimes you have to just look back and see that God has been there all the time. You know he's there now. I want to encourage you with this message today. Hey, hunker down, hold on, be strong. God has not forgotten you. He loves you. Well, that's it for me this week. I'm Brother Aaron Clark. This has been an outreach of Spirit and Truth Christian Church Ministries, reaching the lost to prevent more pain and teaching the ill to go do the same. We want to reach and build and empower you to walk in God's calling for your life. You can listen to this and other messages on our website at SpiritTruthChristianChurch.net, as well as find us on Facebook, Spirit Truth Christian Church Ministries. Till next time, God bless you. Keep the faith.